your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. I'm excited to jump in. We got some good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, lots of moon stories this week.
Yeah, a little bit of space fashion, if you will.
First, kind of space update is the new spacesuits. That's basically been unveiled by a contractor who's building them for NASA. And they were designed by Prada. They just look really, really bloody cool.
Yeah,
very slim and sleek, but also quite classic looking. It's also just cool to, like, you know, have a giant brand like Prada collaborating with, you know, a space agency for their suits, which is just pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, do we know anything about how this collaboration kind of came about, or like why Prada wants to be making spacesuits?
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting story. So NASA, they're actually not building the spacesuits. They've asked a company called Axiom Space. And because they're a private company, they kind of essentially get free reign to work with whoever they want. So they get the brief from NASA, this is the type of suit that we want. But as to the actual design elements of it, it's totally up to them being a private company. So, yeah, I guess they've just thought that Prada would be a cool company to collab with and make these really sleek-looking suits.
They are very sleek-looking. I like this website that I'm looking at them on. It has all these nice like close-ups of, like, this is what the gloves look like and
yeah,
the details. It's all about the details.
Yeah, it's very, like, fashion show-esque, like the PR release photos. They're very, very cool, and, that red stripe, too, is pretty sleek-looking. I really like them.
It's quite cool. I imagine it's kind of involving a slightly different crowd and demographic and being interested in what's happening in space and all the stuff that's happening with NASA.
Yeah, and I think it's just quite cool because, you know, companies like SpaceX, they've also had their spacesuits designed by people that work on, like, film, basically, so costume designers. So they were actually part of the process for these spacesuits.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just cool that, you know, space is cool and it has to be super functional, but I think it can also look, you know, sleek and cool at the same time.
So it's quite a common thing to get, you know, costume designers and stuff involved in this process.
In recent years, definitely with private companies now building a lot of this stuff, they kind of just have a bit more free reign. Whereas, you know, you can imagine NASA being, you know, funded by tax dollars, probably wouldn't be able to, you know, collab with Prada to build a space where that would probably be, like, seen as a waste of money. But, these companies kind of get free reign to do whatever they want.
Cool. Moving right along, updates in Artemis 3 mission to the moon. Tell me about what's happening with this.
Yeah, so these spacesuits, which will be used for this mission, it's the Artemis 3 mission, which is the first in, you know, over 50 years that NASA plans to land people on the moon in a few years. And they've basically started to kind of whittle down the landing site. So they've now started the selection process. They've got it down to 9 different sites, which are all around the south pole of the moon.
Mm.
And pretty soon, hopefully in the next few months, might be up to a year, they'll actually pick a site. And that's going to be where astronauts are going to land, which is quite exciting.
Right. And so which of the landing sites are kind of looking good at the moment and why?
Yeah, well, I was reading through why they've selected the ones they have, and the similar things about them is they're basically all hilly areas around the South Pole. So they're areas where they basically receive sunlight almost continuously. And that's because it's at the South Pole and the moon, just the way it's orientated with the sun. Those areas basically get constant sun, but they also get constant, like a direct line of sight to the Earth. And that means that, you know, astronauts on the surface will always, you know, have a clear communication link back to the Earth, which is, yeah, kind of what you want. You don't really want to be in a shaded area. You don't want to be, like, under, you know, in a crater in a very, very dark area because it's freezing. You want to be in direct sunlight. So these areas all have, you know, pretty large amounts of sunlight throughout their month.
Mm. So how many sites are in the running at the moment? There's, like, what, like 10 or something of them?
There's 9, yeah. 9 sites. And then, yeah, they might whittle it down to, you know, top 3, and then they'll make their final decision.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, that's good to know. We'll keep in touch with what's happening with Artemis 3. And then finally, this is probably a bit naive of me, but I didn't really think about the impact that the US election was going to be having on what's happening in space and with NASA, but yeah, apparently a lot.
Yeah, no, I only thought of this this morning when I thought, oh, it's the, you know, US election tomorrow, which obviously everyone's kind of watching at the moment. But yeah, I mean, there's four Americans on the space station at the moment, and they're going to be voting from space.
Is that a thing, voting from space? That's cool.
Yeah, so that it's actually a funny story. So there wasn't actually a law that allowed astronauts to vote up until the late 90s. So in Texas, where NASA is based, their Houston Center, they passed a bill which basically allows, it's essentially like an absentee ballot. So U.S. citizens, if you're not in the country, you'd get one of them. But in this case, if you're in space, you get them emailed to you or sent up digitally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they vote, and then they basically send them back down to NASA headquarters, and then they send it off to the polling places, essentially. So it's this very kind of encrypted network to get their votes down from space, which is just not something you really think about.
Mm. And so what is NASA saying about what it wants from the next administration?
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky one, because the head of NASA, so the administrator of NASA, is assigned by the president. So 4 years ago, Biden would have assigned one, which is the current NASA administrator. Trump has assigned one. So you're kind of at the whim of the government administration. So, you know, I think if, for example, if Trump gets in, he's going to assign a new head of NASA. Mm-hmm. And also they can often have a change in direction as to what they want to do. So they might cancel certain programs. They might change, you know, the plan of the Artemis missions. And it can be quite a kind of tumultuous time for NASA readjusting to a new administration, just because there's a huge amount of admin involved. And often that means, you know, literally changing the goals of what you're wanting to achieve in space, which, you know, it's a massive task when it happens every 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, NASA's probably going to be watching the election very closely.
And so if Kamala wins, we'll probably see the same guy stay as the head of NASA.
Yeah, if Kamala wins, the Democrats, yeah, party would basically just keep the same administrator, which is very likely, and it's quite common.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Trump does win, which if he doesn't, he's going to assign someone else, essentially, and he might direct, you know, NASA to speed up their lunar plans or get to the moon faster or whatever.
Mm.
So, whereas with Kamala, it's probably going to stay pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, I can't help but my mind just kind of goes to, like, oh, like Elon Musk and his like weird friendship with Donald Trump and
yeah.
SpaceX and like what that would all mean for that whole space.
Yeah, and it's really dicey because, yeah, Elon Musk also is, he talks to Vladimir Putin, so the president of Russia, and NASA's openly said, like, you know, we're quite wary of that, like talking to the Russian, the head of Russia, essentially, which, yeah, Americans obviously are not doing, and they have a pretty sour relationship at the moment. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens after tomorrow.
Space politics.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? All right, well then, Josh, thank you so much. I think we'll catch up in a couple weeks' time.
No worries, I'll speak to you then.
Kakite.
Kakite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.